Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.
Today we're talking about urban wood waste. Hello, I'm Amy Taylor Myers, and welcome to Farm and Family. Today we're speaking with Jason Gordon, Mississippi State University Extension Assistant Professor. So, Jason, what exactly is urban wood waste?
Well, Amy, urban wood waste is also known as wood residue from urban areas, from cities and towns. And that's what's left after high-risk trees, including those that are diseased or damaged, have been pruned or removed, such as after storms. So wood waste will include tree limbs, stumps, and anything woody from the tree. One study has found that on average, over 200 million cubic yards of organic residues are generated from urban landscapes each year. And of these, about 15% are unchipped logs that contain an estimated 3.8 billion board feet of lumber. That's a lot. Removal costs can add up very quickly and sometimes run into several millions of dollars depending on the size of the city, particularly after a storm or a bad outbreak of a disease like emerald ash borer or Dutch elm disease.
Yes, that does sound pretty serious. Now, what happens to the wood?
Well, this is the problem. Unfortunately, it often ends up in landfills where it ends up costing taxpayers even more money in the long term because it takes up so much room and decays very slowly. Landscape residues have been found to make up as much as 35% of waste generated by some communities. But through careful planning and policy decisions, more affordable solutions are available.
And what are some of these options?
Well, cities can use this wood waste on small scales or large scales. There's a recent article published by the USDA Forest Products Laboratory in Wisconsin about a program in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that is utilizing the wood waste left from emerald ash borer, which is an insect that was imported from Asia and has killed all the ash trees in these areas in the lake states and up north. A cut to tree length harvester, which is a type of machine, is removing 5,400 trees that has been killed by the ash borer. Despite the scale of the operation, the price of removal is relatively low, only $13 per tree, which means the city pays $13 per tree for removal, which is a really good price. Like any forestry operation, the opportunity to remove the trees was presented to the forest products industry, with a winning bid going to a local logger. Recovered wood is then going to local forest products companies in the area. And in the meantime, the city is conducting workshops to teach the public about the operation and so that the public can see these methods that are employed and understand what's going on. The project demonstrates the effectiveness of forest-to-market supply chain thinking with similar efforts used in places like western states, where it's really important to clean up these trees that might be impacted by fires, those big western fires that happen out west.
So is the practice of urban tree utilization always worthwhile economically?
Well, not always, but there is another documented case in which the sale of urban trees to a local mill was four times the trucking cost for pulpwood. In another case, cities have offset storm damage tree removal by selling firewood, pulp. They can sell saw logs, wood chips, and many other products. There are many cases of municipalities using urban wood waste to generate heat in municipal buildings as well. In fact, that's one of the most common uses for urban wood waste, besides chips, for landscaping. One analysis of costs and financial returns found that energy conversion was an economically more attractive alternative than landfilling. St. Paul, Minnesota stands out among large cities and they use around 250 metric tons of wood annually as energy and heat source for downtown buildings, usually public buildings, and around 25 megawatts of electricity just from their urban wood waste. An analysis found that it would be possible for 57 similar-sized plants to produce bioenergy across the United States.
So, Jason, if we wanted to go to somewhere for more information, could we go to our Mississippi State University County Extension Office or the Forestry Commission Office?
That's always a great place to go, and also MSUcares.com is a great place to find more information.
Thank you so much. Today we've been speaking with Jason Gordon, Mississippi State University Extension Assistant Forestry Professor. I'm Amy Taylor Myers, and this has been Farm and Family. Have a great day.
Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.